Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African Big Star Johnson brings a fresh approach to new school hip-hop, and his crossover market appeal will ensure South Africans from all walks of life get to enjoy his music for a long time to come. He is the winner of the Vuzu Hustle Season 1. He has been featured as an artist on Coke Studio South Africa. My Year peaked at number 1 on 5FM's Top 30 Hits chart. He has achieved the milestone of reaching over 600,000 views for his music video Pablo. Big Star provided the theme song for the Vuzu Hustle Season 2 titled Just to Flex. Other big charting hits that he has released include Flavors, Telescope, Me and Mines, Look Around, amongst many others. Big Star has collaborated with artists such as Oscar Mbo, Black Diamond, Makwa, and a range of other big stars in the music industry. Up next, joining me live at Solid Gold Podcast in Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is Big Star Johnson. Celeb Svantja Barrett Edelstein. And on today's episode, I have got Big Star Johnson.
In the place to be with Barrett, it's me. Let's go.
So thank you for joining us on the Celeb Svantja Podcast today.
Thank you for having me, King.
So how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Can't say life isn't lifing, you know, but I'm much better than I've ever been in a very long time. I'm happier than I've been in a long time. I'm busier than I've been in a long time. So I'm in a good space. I'm in a good space right now. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
All good. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. You. Awesome.
Now, where or why Big Star? Because of what, of the perception of the name, or what are the other meanings?
I've always been a big guy. So okay. It's a normal thing from where I'm from, you know, in the east of, not even in the east of Johannesburg, everywhere. If you're a big guy, they tend to say you look like the Notorious B.I.G.
Okay.
You feel me? So they used to call me Biggie a lot, like Biggie, Biggie, Biggie. My dad still calls me Biggie. By the way, you know, which I think is really cool. And then there was a verse that I wrote, in high school where I was cracking this joke about Selena Johnson, who's another vocalist, right? And I was saying it has a ring to it, Big Star Johnson. I don't even remember what I was saying, but it stuck. Like I rocked the whole classroom. It turned into a grade story. Then it turned into a school thing. So yeah, Big Star Johnson was pretty much a high school verse. It came from a verse and it stuck. And I think it also has that persona, man, like that it's the other side of me. I'm a very soft spoken dude. Big Star Johnson is more the ha. You can't touch this, you know? Yeah.
We should do the MC Hammer dance now.
No. I'm playing. yeah, we should.
You mentioned this verse at school.
Yes.
So let's unpack your career in the music world. Obviously, it was triggered or noticed in high school or before then.
Yeah.
So how did that journey start and progress to where we are today?
So it started in primary school, man. It started in primary school. There was a Sunday. We were going to my grandmother's church, which was in Tembisa. So we get there and the gate is closed. So now my mom says, like, it's my mom, my younger brother, myself. She's like, all right, nah, let's go home. On the way home, there's another church and she's like, yo, let's step in. Let's just try it out. Let's see. We've never been to a church like this before. Walk in there and I see a live band, up close and personal for the first time, which was mind blowing for me at the time as a primary school kid.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the drums immediately and I walked up to the drummer after the service and I was like, I want to do what you do. And he was like, come through Thursday night, 6:30 and let's jam. And ever since then, every single day was dedicated to learning something musically and expressing something. So I never learned to be the best. I learned to express, you know, and the second I learned how to express. So I'm one of those guys that say jack of all trades, master of some, not none. I'd learn an instrument. So I started off with the drums early on, drums. And I realized I can't write to the drums. So I moved to the guitar. I mean, the piano.
Yes.
Played the piano, learned the basic chords, major chords, minor chords. You know, I never really got too deep. Then I started writing music, and that just got me hooked. And I became the guy at school with the guitar. So live instruments have always been a passion, but also for the purpose of writing.
So do you still play any of the instruments today?
Not as frequently, okay. But I do pick up an instrument now and then, you know, especially with the school that I've got. We got a school where I'm from, where we teach a couple of kids instruments, because I've always appreciated the value of learning an instrument. And yeah, I tend to pick up while I teach. So what I do is I teach the elementary stuff. I teach the starting, okay?
Yeah.
This is how you get into it. And then I let the pros take over.
Okay.
Yeah, the more they develop.
So now you did all these instruments and school. And
yes.
Then, so from leaving school, what were the next steps?
Yeah, so varsity, I joined a band. Now I'm a part of a band. There's this female vocalist called Lily Million. She was signed to Electromode at the time. Knew nothing about record labels or nothing. I was just the drummer. And I'm traveling everywhere. And I'm playing drums at the dopest festivals. You know, your Opie Gopies, your Hansa Pilsner Festival of Legends, your White Mountain Festival in Cape Town. So, like, I'm doing all these dope stuff. Never really chasing the front of the stage, but always writing, you know. And we did that for a solid 3-4 years. And the year where she was like, I need to take a break from all of this, it's too much. You know how the game gets, too much. It's all too much. The year when that happened, the TV show came for me, man. Like, there was a TV show on Vuzu Hustle, and I entered at my boy's dentist appointment. Like, I'm waiting for him. I'm entering this thing, and then I get selected to be on the show, and we end up winning the show. And we are now industry players. And that's how the journey happened for me. So it's always been there, you know. Music has always been there. Opportunities have always presented themselves to me musically, you know. So that's how I always, the cliche of I never chose it, it chose me, really exists in my reality.
So the show that you won, what was it? Like a reality?
Yeah, reality.
Like
reality.
Idols for hip hop.
100%.
Okay. Ah.
Brilliant analogy. I think what they did very well with that show is that they got the guys who were actually running the mainstream at the time, AKA was a judge, Kuli Chana and Stogie T. They were the three judges for the show. And they pretty much got 20 contestants from all over the country come. Rap as much as you can. We'll throw you with challenges. And yeah, I won that show. So it was pretty much, you're in here 2 weeks, every single moment we're recording. It's a reality show, but at the same time, they give you challenges that you have to pass to stay. Yeah.
But you recorded for 2 weeks, but how long was it actually on screen for the viewers? Like, was it on once a week?
Yeah, once a week. So it was like a two and a half month show. And I was the guy who made it to the very end.
I find this quite interesting. Yes. So is this a situation where obviously you filmed, you know you've won?
No.
Oh, okay.
So we filmed.
Explain me, yes.
We filmed all the way till the finale.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, then the finale is live.
Yeah, the finale is live.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what happened. So I knew I made it to the top two, but it was still up to vote. So the country had to vote for the winner.
Okay.
And that's how the winner was decided.
So knowing that you're in the top two, obviously you have to keep that secret.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, it's, you're like bursting
of
to
course,
tell the world.
Of course.
And you're like, shtum, you've got like the.
Of course.
So
of
how
course.
Did you, like contain that excitement and keep it within so that it didn't.
For sure.
How was that?
Oh, I told everyone.
Oh, yeah. Did you tell
everyone? Yeah, I told everyone. In my world, I was like, yeah, I'm in the top two. I ain't stressed, you know? I see you worried. Don't worry. I make it through, you know?
But I mean, you didn't post anything on social media. You just personally told.
Yes, personally.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Personally, yeah. So on social media, I was very new to social media at the time as well, you know? So a lot of the stuff that I was doing on social media was instructed as well. Yes. They were very like, oh, this week you only send me what to post. You post these pictures.
Okay.
And you this is, if you caption it,
it's better, yeah.
Caption it this way.
Yes.
So that's all I did on social media. Yeah. And I think that's the power of productions. You know, they get to sort of like tell you exactly what to do. As long as you entered, you have to live by their rules.
Yeah.
So yeah. Under the time we had signed an NDA, that's another thing. So it was cool the fact that they gave us stuff to post. Yeah. That helped a lot.
Yes. Thoughts on social media?
Amazing tool. Amazing, amazing tool. Like I was actually telling my girl earlier, I've seen guys where I went to a studio session with this guy 2 years ago and we were hungry and he's like, oh, I know where the food is. Let me go buy the food for everybody. And he did that. And this morning, like I'm talking like this morning, that very same guy has the biggest song in the world. And that's social media. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And I've seen that happen countless times. So it's definitely leveled the playing field. It's got its pros and cons, of course, man. There are cons, but the ultimate thing that I've seen about social media is that it has connected us, man, more than anything ever could. And it's pretty dope. It's pretty cool for me. The biggest song in the world, bro.
Which song is that?
It's this dance. It's EQ. It's called Uchwala Bam. It's an Amapiano song.
Okay.
So he's actually trending the most right now.
Okay.
That song is everywhere. And he went to go get the meat for us, bro. He was like, no, I'll go get the food. And now he's got the number one trending record. So that's social media.
I'm going to discuss shortly your creative process, but
for sure.
It's segueing into this conversation.
Mm.
And I love having this discussion with artists because I love hearing everyone's perspectives.
Okay. Cool.
I love me a CD. I still buy my CDs because I love it. I love the holding of the thing. Yes. I love the energy exchange. For me, it's a journey. Wow.
Yes.
This month, I'm going to get this one and this one. The excitement of opening it.
Yes.
Like I said, for me, it's an energy exchange for you guys for all the hard work that you've done.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you're aware, CDs, even cassettes, funny enough, and vinyls are making massive comebacks. In fact, in the UK alone last year, there were 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990.
Insane.
CDs are on an upward trajectory again, and cassettes are increasing annually.
Awesome.
But then we've got social media that is influencing tastes.
Yes.
And we've got these digital platforms whereby people are consuming music from. So we've got this whole landscape, and then obviously there's controversy about payments and all that kind of stuff.
Of course.
What are your thoughts and observations around the dynamic of where the industry is at the moment?
Brilliant question, bro. Brilliant question. You know, my dad at the moment is somebody who's just like you. Like, I am trying to get him to jump onto Spotify, right? He is not about it. Like, he spent too many years collecting all his CDs. The whole experience of just, you know, hold on. I want to put the disc in.
Yep.
Listen, my boy. So the bassist is whoever. That's so cool, you know?
So just to pause.
Yes.
Keep your thoughts.
Yes.
So I am on Spotify.
Yes.
And I'm got my CDs. And it's interesting.
Cool.
Last year, I wanted to get a CD player because I hadn't had for a while because I was living overseas, et cetera. Just some background. And then what I discovered was everyone was like, oh, where are you going to buy a CD player? There's no CD players. And I went on to Takealot.
Yeah.
And there were hundreds of options. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down again. So the point I'm trying to make is that I have my Spotify playlist because I use them because I teach spinning classes and I use them for that.
Awesome.
So when I listen to the Spotify playlist, the sound quality on the exact same system compared to the CD.
Yes.
The CD, I feel like I'm at a stadium live audience show. The sound from the streaming platform is muted. It's dull.
You're kidding
me. It's not prolific.
You're kidding me.
It's the exact same songs.
Is this the exact same sound system?
Exact same sound system.
Insane.
Bluetooth Spotify compared
yes.
to the actual CD.
Wow.
So,
the purists know what they're talking about.
Carry on with your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a beauty to that, man. There's a beauty to it being about the art. So I think that's what made the CD era, the vinyl era, and the cassette era so cool is that, yes, it was more than just the music, but it was still about the art.
Yes.
You get what I'm trying to say? So have a great album, and then package it artistically, and then take us through the story artistically. So that was so cool. Whereas I think this era is about everything except the art. And I think that's very tricky. You know, if your metric of what's good is not the actual product, but the smoke and mirrors around it. I think that's a very tricky place to trust your judgment from, you know? So to a certain extent, I'm a purist myself, you know? And I think that comes from the journey of learning instruments and knowing how good people get. So with where we are right now, I think it comes with the same pros and cons that, we were 20 years ago. We couldn't reach other countries as easily then. Now we can.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's not just about how good you are sonically. It's about everything else. So I think the smartest approach to it, man, is to have a fluid perspective.
Yeah.
You know, keep your perspective fluid. Try and find where you can find the gaps, but trying to keep it the same, probably the biggest mistake you can ever make.
Absolutely.
Things are forever changing.
Everything. That's the only constant. And also, I heard something yesterday, which is very interesting. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, that now they're changing the way they write songs. I'm not 100% of the exact thing, but I was told something about that. It's in 30 seconds, because on social media and the attention spans 30 seconds, they've changed the way they're writing songs in it so that the first 30 seconds could be fit into the algorithm or something. So it's now become about that and not about the beauty of the art.
I believe it. I believe it. That's very disappointing to hear, you know. But at the same time, make your first 30 seconds incredible then, you know. So there's a silver lining. So, but it is heartbreaking, man. Like especially for someone who still values CDs. Like I can get it. If you still value CDs, man, you really care about the whole process and I make my music for people like you. You know, I truly, and this is like on camera, on the record, I genuinely struggle to be anything but a great musician. I can't impress you outside of the studio. I wish I could, you know, but I need help. You know, I get help for stuff like that. I don't do it by myself.
Yeah.
I can't. I am just an artist, you know, and that's sad that it's come to just an artist. I am an artist.
Yes.
Thank you.
Cross it out. All of that up.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've dived right into the next question.
Mm-hmm.
From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes
mm-hmm.
in creating a piece of art,
yes.
music, your journey of that, is it easy every time? What invigorates it? What motivates it?
Yes.
What inspires it? So a big star's creative process in creating music.
For me, it's about clearing space. So I need to create space for art. And that's so creating music for me starts months in advance. This is something I've realized. Mentally, I have to clear the voices, you know, clear what I think is amazing out there or whatever. Like, just and allow the channel to speak. So I trust that the genius doesn't come from me.
Yes.
Genuinely. I realized I consult somebody, you know, somebody tells me that line is not good. Go for another one, you know? So yeah, I create space for the music to live because I don't think I can think music up. No, you can't.
Yeah.
It just exists. You find it somewhere.
So yeah, the reason I'm laughing and giggling is I've spoken to a number of like over 170 artists in different genres.
Yes.
Different parts of the world.
Yes.
And every, almost 99% of them have said the same thing in different words, that it's out there somewhere and they just a vessel bringing it down to speak. So it's like, that's why I'm just laughing and giggling because I've just heard the same thing in different words, like 175 other ways.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, yes.
Do you think that qualifies you? Do you think the fact that you hear the music qualifies you as a musician?
Oh. What do you mean by that?
I mean, you know how soccer players, right? They are just, or anything, they are just really gifted people. And then there are people who really have to work hard at it. So do you think being able to have the gift of just hearing it, because it's a gift.
Yeah.
You did nothing to hear it.
Yeah.
You think that qualifies you?
Qualifies you for what?
As a musician. Like, does it make you a great artist?
Well, I think to a certain degree, because those people are allowing it to come through.
Mm.
If it wasn't a part of a person's journey, they wouldn't be in that space.
Mm.
And do you understand?
Mm. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wish that was enough. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Hearing it, like, not everybody hears it.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you're aware. Wait, so you finished off your creative process? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming.
No.
So that neuro-linguistic programming is the way people process information.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three. A person has a dominant one, they have a secondary, and they have a tertiary. Each of us are different. So your dominance, etc., gets sort of put into place as a child.
Hmm.
So dominance means that you'll be in it for like 8 to 10 hours of the day. Secondary, maybe 1 or 2 hours of the day. Tertiary, maybe half an hour of the day, if at all.
Mm.
Just to give an idea.
Yes.
So the three processes are A, visual.
Yes.
So that means that when people process information, they create pictures. And they see things.
That is so true.
Auditory people, it's about the words and sentences. So they hear the word, they put the word into the sentence, they understand the sentence, they put the words into a paragraph. It's about the words. There's no pictures.
Mm.
Then you've got kinesthetic. That word again, kinesthetic, is through the emotion, the body language, the energy, the feeling. Okay.
Cool, yeah.
So focusing specifically on music now, not your general life.
Yes,
Because that's a discussion today.
Yes.
When you listening to music, and I know you said you clear for when you're writing, but when you're listening to music by other artists, when you're in that space, you do so. All your own music. Are you creating a picture of what you're hearing?
Uh-huh.
Or are you hearing the words, or are you getting the feeling of the song?
I think different genres do different things.
Okay.
So when it comes to like where the music has no words, like jazz or even a deep house song, it's all about the feeling, because there's a language there. There's a language and I hear what he's feeling. Does that make sense? So it's like what me and my friends would do would be like, ah, come on, man. It's not that deep. You know, you hear a beautiful chord and it's like, ah, man. You really didn't have to take it there. You know, cause that's a deep place. Okay. Keep talking. You know, so I can hear the emotion. For hip hop.
But that means you're hearing the emotion and not feeling the emotion. So it's hearing first and then, so second, so I get the sense that, because you keep talking about hearing and speaking and hearing. So I get the sense that you're more dominant in the music space, auditory.
Yes. Auditory.
Then secondary kinesthetic.
Yes. I think I don't necessarily see. I'm not a seer when it comes to music.
Yeah.
I hear it. I hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard myself say this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, no, trust me, I hear it. So I guess I hear it.
So when you hear songs, you're easily able to hear the words of the songs. You don't have to consciously focus to listen to the words to hear them.
Yes.
Exactly.
I hear them.
Yeah.
I
straight away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the same. So like what helped me realize that every person in the world is processing information differently. And we are assuming that everyone is doing the same as us.
Mm.
I am able to hear words of music first time. Obviously, it's not too fast or.
Yes, generally. Of course.
And in fact, if we were talking now or as we are and there'd be a song playing in the background, I would still be able to hear the words clearly. While I was listening to the song softly and talking to you.
Interesting.
So I remember I was with a person in the gym and we were just doing training and somehow the conversation was linked to a song that came on. I can't remember what or how.
Mm.
I said, listen to the words of the song. So the song played out and finished. And I said to the person, did you hear the words of the song that were played out?
Yeah.
And she said something very strange to me. Yeah. She said to me, she wasn't consciously focusing on the words of the song, so she did not hear them. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
Why do you have to consciously focus on the words of the song? You just listen to them.
Yes.
And that helped me realize that every single person in the world is processing information differently.
Insane.
But no one is taking the time out to ask each other how they're processing it.
Insane.
And that's where 8% of the breakdown of communication is happening. Because no one is taking themselves out of the equation and realizing that no one is processing the information the same as them.
Oh, man.
Drop that mic.
Oh, that's insanely profound.
Yeah.
I have another question, though.
Exactly.
Now, here's my question. Mm. You said if we're in the middle of a conversation and the song's playing, you can hear the words.
Mm.
What if we're in the middle of a conversation and what calls me to even hear the song is how it makes me feel? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, wait, what's this doing? Hold on. Turn that up. You know, so like
the
feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that still...
because originally you heard the words, which then filtered down into the emotion.
So it is here into emotion.
Yes.
Then visually last. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So everyone's different. But no one's taking the time to discover that about what they're about themselves and then process who they're interacting with around them.
That is so interesting. Because that also allows you to even look at which medium of communication works for you as a brand.
Exactly.
Wow. What if people respond to me visually better than the...
Yeah, but then you need to understand that you've got all process types that are your fans. So that's why there needs to be the visual.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you change who you are, but just understand that you've got all... So knowing that visuals, like seeing the pictures, creating those dynamics.
Fire.
And then auditory... It's about speaking
fire
on the posts and the kind of aesthetic, the body language, the movement, and the feeling.
Can we interview done? Thank you. Fire. Facts for the day. We can't take any more. Yeah, perfect.
So, I love talking about these type of things because it's so fascinating. I wish they would teach this stuff at school.
Bro,
can you imagine how different the world would be if this was one of the subjects at school?
There's got to be a reason they're not. I mean, this could expand so much.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, so we spoke about you. What's next? Next on the horizon, what's happening in the near future?
What's happening? Because I took a good 4 or 5 year break from actively pushing in the industry, you know.
For a specific reason, or you don't really want to touch on that?
No, it's not that I don't want to touch on it. It's just that the same way I was launched into the industry is the same way I was pulled out. It was out of my control. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Circumstances,
life.
Life was lifing. Yeah,
okay.
Life was
I like that saying. Life was lifing.
Yeah, life is lifing. Yes. It's a dance. Sometimes you catch it, sometimes, you know. So life was lifing. So with where I'm at right now, my primary focus is to make sure that I serve people with as much of what I have to express as possible. I am no longer fully interested in how things work, you know, how the game goes or whatever. I'm fully aware that I'm here to give something that's going to stay behind. Like, that's actually where my headspace is at.
Yes.
It's like, this will outlive me. And
not the 30-second algorithm in social media.
Yes, yes. And even if it doesn't outlive me to the general public, it will outlive me to my children.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with my children and with anybody who's ever said, your perspective spoke to me, so I'm interested. I want to give so much more of my perspective because I feel like There's a wiser somebody.
Yes.
There's a wiser. They're just it's pouring to say, talk, bro, talk, and I can hear it. It's the call. So what's next is to just keep heeding the call. You know, I saw this post like a week ago, and it was like this guy was like, I never planned past 2 weeks because even 2 weeks is too much, and that really resonates with me. I know my girl is the total opposite. She's a planner. We need to write. We are budgeting. We are. I'm about that, sort of.
Yeah,
but
the balance.
Yeah, my MO is today.
Yeah,
you know, like, let's make the most out of today.
Yeah.
This conversation, I got so much out of this conversation. So it's to give as much, heed the call every day. What do you want me to do today?
Yeah.
You know, but I can tell that I am directed in my steps at the moment. This is not so much me. There's a lot of, we got this. You just listen to what, listen to that small voice in your head. We got this.
Okay, so you just helped me a lot because I, pre to a number of years ago, I was very much a structured planner.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then a couple of grateful opportunities happened. So I was going overseas for a holiday to Europe.
Yes.
And Kylie Minogue is one of my favorite singers. Mm-hmm. And I was literally coming back from overseas on the Monday, mm-hmm. and then I was going to be seeing her in concert on Friday.
Mm.
And I recognized 3 or 4 weeks before leaving for my trip, mm. I was more excited about my concert than I was about my holiday.
Insane.
And pre to that, I would always plan, like, okay, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I need to know, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So I decided to reframe it.
Mm.
So I knew I was going to be in Lisbon, Madrid, and Amsterdam. Amsterdam, I was going to be staying with friends.
Okay.
I knew I had a place to stay.
Yes.
So what I decided to do is not do what I previously did. I did not Google anything.
Yes.
I didn't Wikipedia anything. I didn't look at any books. I literally arrived at the hotel and I said to people, cool, tell me what there's to do. And I allowed it to be in the moment so that I could experience it, because I knew if I planned it,
yes,
I would be so busy thinking of what's coming next,
yes,
to get me to that concert.
Yes.
So it helped me a lot after that, that I'm a little bit more balanced in the structure compared to the, but sometimes you reminded me, thank you, gave me an aha moment to just let it, yes, flow as well.
Yes. Yeah. So you still struggle with the,
not really as nearly as much as before, but sometimes it's more like my brain, like, because my you can see and feel I've got, yes, loads of energy.
Yes.
And my energies, I've been told by lots of people, is 6 months ahead of the rest of the world. So the world has to often catch up with me. And I find it extremely frustrating. In the past, I used to feel so frustrated.
Yes.
That why are these people taking so long to catch up with,
yes,
where I'm at? So,
yes.
So it's much better than it used to be.
I feel
but
you.
It's like, anyway.
I feel you. Powerful.
I love this game.
Yes. Of games.
Changing straight away. I love this game.
Yes.
I know if I had to ask this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 years, 20 hours, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there are millions of them.
Okay.
I recognize that and I understand that.
Yes.
I'm not saying favorite.
Yes.
I'm saying top of mind.
Yes.
Once we finish this conversation, if you had to push play to 5 songs.
Yes.
By other artists, what would those songs be and by whom?
5 songs.
If you can't think of songs, maybe, yes, 5 artists.
Okay.
Whichever, okay, comes first.
Now I'm going to go with songs. I'm going to go with songs. The first song I would play would be John Mayer, Stop This Train.
Okay.
That song spoke to me,
mm-hmm,
in ways that anyway, should I explain or
can, no, keep just, it moving? Yeah.
Yeah. John Mayer, Stop This Train. The second song I would play would be Mos Def, Traveling Man.
Mm-hmm.
His wordplay on that song at that age when I first heard that, incredible. The third song I would play would probably be, you see, those are my easy ones. Cause I know.
This is the point people, yeah, normally start to struggle.
Those are my easy ones.
I know, yeah, that. Mos Def, I see it all the time.
John Mayer. Those are my go-tos. Third song I probably play would be, I think, Understand Part 2 by myself.
Okay.
The only reason I play that song is because I feel like there's a story to my life,
mm,
that's being told, mm, and there's the story still exists in that song.
Okay.
And some things haven't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
Do you get what I'm, yeah, trying, yeah, to say? So I play that song as a gentle reminder that I am me. The fourth song I would play would have to be, I'd say, Forever and Ever by Kirk Whalum.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful record. Beautiful record. Also a record where the language is not words.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. And the last song I'd play today would probably be Daft Punk, Something About Us, or Something Between Us. Cause that song, I don't know where they were. Like, they were where you are, 6 months ahead, but they were like 6 years or something.
Okay.
They were incredible. Yeah. So I think I definitely keep it as a mix of songs. That's very important to me. I'm not about this stereotype.
No. Absolutely.
No. So yeah, those would be the songs.
Okay.
Yeah. You now.
Okay. You're only the second person who's asked me.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's think.
Right now.
Okay. So, ABBA, The Winner Takes It All.
Okay.
Ed Sheeran, Shape of You.
Oh.
Tina Turner, Proud Mary.
Oh! That's a good one.
Natalie Imbruglia Torn.
Okay.
And Nelly Furtado Manita.
Hmm.
So this is just first the top five that came through.
So you got a thing for female vocalists, huh?
Oh yeah, it must be.
That's
yeah,
you.
Actually,
yeah,
I guess. Yeah. No, I like, but those are just the five. No,
I got you. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Community, man. That's me this year. Please look after your community. Like, your community says a lot about who you are. And I feel like people are too flimsical with who they give their energy to. You know, if there's such a word as flimsical. Yeah, I think be intentional about your community. Be very, very intentional about your community. And nobody here knows what's really going on. So can we stop pretending? Can we all just stop pretending like we know something? No, we don't. Like, we're still trying to figure it all out on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We know nothing. So we would have so much more fun if we all just said, okay, now what? As opposed to, I think you should try this, sir, because this is the way to know. No. Now what? Because that's an invitation.
Yeah.
More invitations, less announcements. Yeah. And your community, man. Big, big.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.